Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I am Tori.
I am Puma. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes. Happy Friday, guys.
Yes.
Puma, what do we do on this podcast?
Oh, well, on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Let's go.
Yes. So, yeah. Which pretty much encompasses everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're in the middle of our series, The Names of God. And this is, I say this like almost every week, but like this is such a helpful and challenging series because our key verse comes from Psalm 9:10. And the longer I live, the more I see this to be true. And that says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. If we want to grow in our trust and love for God, we have to know his name. And so each episode, we've been going over a name of God. And today we have a fun one.
Yeah. And it, you know, that whole thing of trusting, it really just highlights the reality that all of us experience is that life is about relationships and people and getting to know people. And unfortunately, many times, you know, as we get to know people, people disappoint.
Yeah.
And we find out things about someone that we don't like. And part of the whole relationship thing, too, is we try to hide parts of ourselves from people, you know,
yeah, right.
Because I'll be honest, there are things that I am not happy about myself. And so relationships are always going somewhere.
Yes.
But I think sometimes we project that onto God. Like we think that God is somehow hiding himself or not wanting us to really know him, as if we found out something about God, we might not like him, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is not true. The whole reason God, you know, gave us the Bible, his word, is so that we could know him, so we could understand we have a relationship with him. He is... When he says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. God says, seek me. If you seek me, you will find me. Mm. He's not hiding. He's not trying to hide himself. He wants us to know him. He wants to be known. Yeah. And so this is what's so exciting about the different names of God. Some of the names that we've looked at where people call God a certain name because of the situation. And sometimes God actually says, this is who I am. I'm going to tell you who I am. And so that's kind of, you know, where we are today. But question, Tori.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you ever have this situation, Tori, you know, you have a long day where, you know, you preach and you teach and with people all day long, maybe a meeting in the afternoon, and, you know, you get home and it's, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and you've been going for, you know, 12 plus hours, and you're just kind of emotionally, relationally exhausted. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I'm finally home. I finally can sit down and just kind of rest, relax. And all of a sudden, you get a text.
Oh, no.
And or a phone call or a message. And it's somebody that needs, you know, your help, needs your advice. Mm. And I'll be honest that, you know, in those moments, I am very tempted to ignore the text or like, sure. I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
Like I am tapped out. And, you know, I feel bad about that, but I mean, I care about people and I want to help people, but maybe it's the older I get, you know, the more I realize, man, I am very limited at times and don't always know what to say. Even as a husband, I sometimes don't know what to say.
Sure.
You know, to help my wife, I feel like I'm lacking. I don't know if you've experienced that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, I mean, that example is so, so very real and probably to a lot of us, where you are just, you know, absolutely tired, exhausted, and then someone very well-meaning, they trust you. Maybe it's someone that just is kind of emotionally needy, and they need someone to vent to, and you're the person they went to, which is both an honor, but also it's exhausting. And I've been to a place where it's like, man, I've got nothing to give, and you're broken, but like I'm equally as broken, and you want to help them, but you know you're at your limit, and that's a hard place to be. But when we want to love someone, but you realize, man, I have nothing left to give.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we can project that onto God, right? You know, God is too busy. He doesn't need to be bothered with my issue. Or you might think, well, you know what? I look around and I see what's going on with other people, and maybe God doesn't care about me like he, quote-unquote, doesn't care about somebody else. Maybe God can't handle it, and we kind of project that onto God.
Mm-hmm.
And this really kind of feeds into where we're going today. The name of God. Should we jump into that?
Let's do it. Let's dive in. All right, Puma. So this name of God, El Shaddai, This is a fun name to say in English.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
Can we all say that together?
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. El Shaddai. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, but as this title, you know, what does this name mean?
Yeah. El Shaddai, you know, the God Almighty or God the All-Sufficient One. Hmm. You know, the Shaddai to, you know, to supply or to have like a full tank, if you want to say. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the God who has a full tank.
Yeah.
A full tank that is never empty or a full tank that never goes down.
Self-sustained, unending tank to give.
Yeah. Yeah. I am full.
Yeah. So all sufficient. So like El Shaddai, the God who lacks nothing, who has everything, who is God, who is Almighty God, but the God who has no needs.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So God never gets emotionally spent.
So he never gets tired of my prayers?
He never gets, God never gets physically exhausted. God never has so much on his plate or so much on his mind that he thinks his mind is going to explode. Right? I mean,
yeah.
he's all sufficient. God is not lacking. He doesn't need rest. He doesn't need, you know, to take a nap. He doesn't need to take a break. He is sufficient. He is the Almighty Sufficient One.
How interesting that Jesus had to sleep, had to rest. He took on the human nature.
Right.
Which is funny. This is one of the names, not that Jesus wasn't, he was God, but he wasn't all sufficient as a man.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about Jesus, that's, you know, like Philippians 2, he humbled himself, you know, and took on human flesh, humanity. In doing so, he had to, in a sense, set aside some of those prerogatives in order to physically dwell or be with us, which is a whole nother thing we'll talk about in a future podcast, which is amazing. that Jesus would subject himself to the very things that you and I are subject to all the time, right? Mm-hmm. We get tired, we get hungry, we hurt, we get emotionally scarred, we have physical issues, we have financial issues, and relationally, I mean, how much, you know, we can't make relationships work the way we want all the
right.
time.
We have limits, whether it's physical, emotional, and spiritual.
Yeah, or you could say that we just by our nature are deficient in like everything.
Mm-hmm. So where do we see this name in Scripture, El Shaddai? Where does it pop up?
Yeah, it's a story that's sort of familiar, or at least maybe a person that's familiar, you know, Abraham or Abram. You know, it's from Genesis 17, and this is where God actually changes Abram's name to Abraham. But the chapter starts out, and if we kind of go back, you know, God had made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, I'll be your God, and you and your descendants will be my people, and I'll make them as numerous as the sand of the seashore, the stars in the sky. And Abraham was an old man at the time, right? He was an old guy. And Sarah herself was old, beyond the childbearing years. And they ended up having to wait, you know, years and years and years. And so now Abraham is 99 years old, and he's been waiting for decades for this promise that God said, right? And, you know, so Abraham is 99 years old, and he still does not have a son through Sarah. He had a son, Ishmael, through Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, but God said it wasn't through Ishmael that this promise is going to be made. This promise that I've made to you is going to come true, and it's going to be, you're going to have a son with your wife, Sarah.
Cool.
Which is pretty crazy, because that promise was made when she was past the age of bearing children. And now, you know, decades later, and so you could assume that maybe God is not capable of fulfilling that promise.
Yeah. I mean, right. He made a promise, but he hasn't fulfilled it yet.
He hasn't fulfilled it. And because isn't this our experience? I mean, I've had people that have made promises to me that haven't had the ability to keep them.
That's true.
Right? To not that they want to break a promise, but we can make idle promises, right? We can promise something, but the promise that we make, we don't have the ability to actually fulfill or to
follow through with it.
To follow through. And it's because we are not almighty. We are not all self-sufficient. We are not able to make whatever happen. You know, I can promise my kids, you know, you will always be safe and nothing's ever going to harm you. And yet I can't be with my kid 24/7 and I can't watch out for all the influences that are coming into their life. And you know, it's just, it's hard. It's very, very hard. But we see this in Genesis 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord Yahweh appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, or El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.
Wow.
And, you know, the Lord came to Abraham, and shortly after this, he changes his name to Abraham, so we'll just call him Abraham for now. The Lord comes to him and says, I am El Shaddai. This is who I am. I am the all-sufficient, almighty God. Now, why do you think, Tori, that God, Yahweh, came to Abraham, he's 99 years old, and says, I am El Shaddai?
Well, I think on a merely logical scale, when you're 99, and I mean, it wasn't Sarai or Sarah like 10 years younger, like there's not a whole lot of usually fruitful 99, 80, 90 year olds that produce kids.
Nope.
And so when God gives a promise, I mean, I think I love how God says, this is who I am. God gives himself this name. I am El Shaddai. I am the God who is so sufficient for myself. And I love this because only an all-sufficient God can suffice for all of our needs. I think he reminds Abraham that I am El Shaddai. I need nothing. I lack nothing. And I'm coming to you because you have need. It's almost a contrast, right? Like Abraham needs something to help him have a child. God made a promise. And so only an all-sufficient God can supply for all of our needs.
Yeah, I'm El Shaddai. And he says, I will increase your numbers. I am going to fulfill my promise to you. And later on in the chapter, he says, by this time next year, you will have your son, the son of promise. And you can take that to the bank, Abraham, because I am not just some random God. I am El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, almighty God, and I am able to do this.
That's so cool. When I talk to God, like I know God's all powerful and like he's omnipresent and like, you know, he's omnipotent and like I know conceptually these things, but this name encompasses some beautiful qualities of God. If you're all sufficient, you need nothing. You have to have some type of sense of all power. He never gets tired, right? I think it also goes to that he's aware. If he can supply for all of our needs, he's aware of all of our needs, you know? And so the fact that God is El Shaddai, he's completely self-sustained, self-sufficient, but he's not separate from us. You know, you could, oh, God, he's self-sufficient in a cloud somewhere. But no, he's so self-sufficient. He comes down to Abraham. He comes down to us because he cares about us when he doesn't need us. Like, that's amazing to me. God's not lonely. Like, again, he's completely self-sufficient, and he chooses to engage and care for mankind. That's amazing.
It is. We live in a world that is all about deficiency, right?
Yeah.
Nothing really in itself is self-sufficient because we live in a created world. Everything is contingent or dependent upon other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, my very life was dependent upon parents. I'm not self-created. The physical world, you know, nothing is truly in itself self-sufficient. I mean, we like to think that, you know, technology will be able to create some self-sufficient energy things, but it needs someone to start that, right?
True.
It needs someone to create it. Just doesn't, you know, it just in itself, so we have a hard time, I think, at times to really conceptualize the fact that God is self-sufficient. His sufficiency, his power, his might is enough for anything, for whatever. Yeah. Because when we have an issue, have a problem, oftentimes my first reaction isn't to go to the all-sufficient God. God, I have need, I have help, I'm going to go to a friend. I have need, I'm help, I'm going to go, you know, to Google. I have need and help. But our first reaction isn't to go to El Shaddai, the one who is self-sufficient, all-sufficient, has all that we need.
Yeah. Well, I love that this name of God comes with real intentionality, a care, you know, because, you know, we don't have anyone in our life that is completely self-sufficient. But when I think of like completely sufficient, I think of like billionaires, people who, I mean, just in terms of money, they have everything, they can
people
buy
are
anything.
Stupid rich.
Yeah, right. But it's like, but even they have, I mean, they could be super rich, but they don't care about me, right? Just some lowly peasant. And yet the God who is literally lacks nothing cares so deeply about people. It's funny because people have needs, God doesn't. So why would a God who's completely self-sufficient, who is El Shaddai, care about people who are so needy? Like, to me, that doesn't make sense. And yet that's the beauty of the gospel, that our God, the God of the Bible, is El Shaddai, and this God cares about people. The reason I bring up the care is because I see a lot of teens, oh yeah, God's self-sufficient, but he doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. Like, this name means nothing unless you realize God actually cares about us. He's self-sufficient? Yeah, well, good for him. He hates me.
Right. Well, and that, you know, when we think about God being all-sufficient, if that's all he was, but we didn't know anything else about him, then, yeah, why would we go to him? Because we don't think he cares about us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is where, you know, when Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You know, that's a promise that he will never cast aside anyone that is seeking him.
Yeah.
I mean, so if we know that he is El Shaddai and we go to him, we seek him to meet our deficiencies, he promises to not cast us aside.
Mm.
You know, so again, it's this whole issue of trust. You see, our problems are never too big for God to handle. And that's just a truth and reality. I mean, for Abraham and Sarah, you know, they had a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
They needed an heir.
Yeah.
They needed an heir, and they biologically were incapable of that. And nothing they could do. They can't go to Walmart and buy, you know, a new biology. I mean, they can't, right? They can't do anything.
Right.
But the Lord comes to him and says, I'm El Shaddai, so lean into me.
Mm. It's an invitation.
It is an invitation.
It's a name that is a beckoning. Because I am self-sufficient, you can come to me. And even if you, in your disbelief, I love how, like, even, you know, Sarah didn't believe, but Yahweh, El Shaddai, came to them.
Yeah. I love Psalm 91, you know, really just highlights this whole picture. You know, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of Shaddai, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Mm-hmm. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on, you know, talking about how the Almighty, Shaddai, the Lord who is our refuge and strength to lean into, to rest in, the one who is all-sufficient. He's able to rescue you from, you know, from your enemies. He's able to rescue you when you're afraid. He's able to rescue you when, you know, there's disasters. He talks about how El Shaddai, the Almighty, is able to command his angels to protect you.
Yeah, to watch over.
That disaster won't befall you. El Shaddai is able to rescue you from any situation.
Mm.
I mean, he's saying, rest in me, lean in to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a world that is deficient, why lean into other things? Because everyone experiences need. Right? We have emotional needs, relational needs, physical needs, mental needs, financial needs. I mean, we have a world full of needs. And he's saying, I am El Shaddai, lean into me.
Mm.
Lean into me, the all-sufficient one. I am the one that is almighty, right? Not some mighty, almighty.
Yeah. Well, I love Psalm 91 because you're so right. This is the heart of our God. The heart of El Shaddai is beckoning us to come to him. It's not, oh, look at me, I'm self-sufficient, you know, good luck, you know, human race. He goes, no, I am El Shaddai, so please, I'm a fortress, run to me.
Right, God's he's not like bragging and dropping the mic here. He's not saying, hey, look at me, so amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
And that perspective changes how we approach our Heavenly Father. If we believe that God is just full of himself, oh, he's powerful, but good for him, right? He doesn't care about puny old me. Then why would we run to El Shaddai? No, but God tells Abraham and Sarah, I am El Shaddai because I want you to come to me. I want you to run to me. I want you to trust me because I can supply all of your needs because I lack nothing. That is beautiful.
Yeah, he is the source of all blessing. He is able to provide, whatever it is that we are lacking. If we would just go to him and run to him and just kind of rest in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Abraham did. You know, he's like, all right. You know, that's what I'll do, because at the end of that chapter, he actually obeys the Lord and the sign of circumcision, circumcises all the males in his house and even his son Ishmael, who's a teenager.
That's crazy.
Because he believed that the Lord was El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, and believed that he was able to do exactly what he said.
Yeah, that's amazing. And can I move here to the New Testament here? Because I think this heart of God is so beautifully displayed in Jesus, the risen Jesus. It comes from 2 Corinthians 12. I'll read this here. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. This is so cool. But then Jesus said to me, speaking to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So therefore, I will boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God does not reject weak people. In fact, when we are in Christ, God's sufficiency can be fully displayed in our weakness. We're not boasting that we're weak. We're boasting that Christ is strong when we're weak.
Yeah, and when we think about God being all-sufficient, what he's not saying is, "Oh, my bank account is empty. God, you're all-sufficient. Will you fill it up?" No, he says, "I am all-sufficient. I am able to help meet your needs in spite of your empty bank account, if you will just lean into me and trust me. I am able to give you peace in the midst of a difficult relationship, even though other people are, you know, being ridiculous around you, like Psalm 91, people are falling all around you, but I'm able to help you stand, right, with honor, with integrity in the midst of a season where everyone is being foolish and I mean, you could fill in the blank, right?
Yeah,
you could,
right.
You know, so his sufficiency is not sufficient in the way we want him to be sufficient. Sufficient is in the way that we actually need.
Right.
And this is the heart of our God. He's able to supply all of our needs according to his riches, his rich, sufficient grace. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, Tori?
Yeah.
What would be a good AQ?
What would be a good AQ? You know, when I think of this beautiful name, El Shaddai, my first, I guess, warning for myself, and I guess I would phrase the AQ this way: where are the situations or the struggles in my life where I am tempted to not run to El Shaddai, where I'm tempted to not run to God because I think social media, ChatGPT, my friends, other people will supply my needs? Where are the places in your life where you really are tempted and struggle to trust God as the all-sufficient one? That's what I would say the AQ would be.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, one, I need to acknowledge that I am not self-sufficient,
right?
Even though the world tells me to be self-sufficient, at the same time telling me that I am nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really kind of the worst of both ends. I am nothing, but I should be self-sufficient in my nothingness.
Right.
But God says, "No, I am worth something, but I can't supply what I need. That's why I need to lean into El Shaddai."
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. So yeah, friends, for you and I, the AQ, you know, where in your life are you tempted to not trust in El Shaddai to supply all of your needs? No, that's good. Yeah. Thank you, Puma. And guys, thank you for joining us. What a beautiful name. What a great reminder and challenge to trust in the name of the Lord. For then, you know, as Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And hey, we'll see you next time, Fridays at 10:10. Until then, guys, bye.
Bye-bye.